Blog Talk Radio.
The thing is that just because we're magic doesn't mean we're not real. We are going to have equal rights and justice in our own country, or we will restructure their functions and ours. A system built to divide and impoverish and destroy us cannot stand if we do.
Black, you can't let it go to the judges. All right, welcome to Stir It Up. We are going to stir it up today. Hey, Kathleen, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Jerome?
I'm good. You know, I feel a little rest now. You know, Loki is having had some dental stuff done today, so he's not going to be able to make it onto the show. He just sent me a quick text. So hopefully you're listening, or hopefully you can listen, not in too much pain. But I want to say hey to our partner and co-host, Loki. Feel better.
Hey, Loki. Feel better. So sorry you can't talk tonight.
No, well, maybe he won't listen because, you know, technically when we start yelling, I know he's going to want to jump in on this. So, you know, that happens sometimes. So, you know, if this is your first time listening, this is Stirred Up. This is our, you know, current events, current affairs type show where we talk about issues going on, issues of the day that we just want to tell the truth about. So we going to stir it up. That's how we do it on this program. See, that was my short, concise, ebonic way to put that. That's how we do it. That's all I wanted to say.
That's how we
roll. I was going to go into the long explanation, but I'm like, no. Nope. This is how we do it. That's what's going to happen. We have to see how that works. You know, on the program, you know, the big thing in the news is all of this Donald Trump stuff, you know, and can't say that I feel sorry for anybody, like just generally. And, well, see, I was going to qualify that. I'm so kind of into how news does that and go, well, we're not talking about the abuse victims. Like, they usually do stuff like that. I don't. But I don't feel sorry for the Republicans or Trump or their candidacy or the media from this all of this fake outrage. The fake outrage is what's getting on my nerves. I'm not saying that I'm not happy that they're outraged, but they are all pretty much lying. Because if they would have just paid attention to that nut before, then they wouldn't be up in arms.
You think it's fake outrage?
Well, it's probably not really fake, but it's exaggerated outrage, right? So nobody gets upset that he has been racist and sexist and crazy, and then the white female Miss Entertainment Tonight kind of thing person, and again, I don't usually run disclaimers, but I don't know Nancy O'Dell, and I'm not calling her names, and don't care, like, one way or another. I'm just talking about the psyche of this country. The psyche is that now that she's offended, now we all have to fake act like we are just dag surprised and outraged.
So horrified. Yeah, we're just so horrified.
Right.
But we were, you know, the thing is, like you're saying, I don't think it's fake for them, right? I don't think it's fake for the Republicans that are citing outrage. But I do wonder what they think when they you know, go into their kitchens at night or to their prayer closets and they say, okay, well, we ignored the assault on the Miss Universe. We ignored the assault on Rosie O'Donnell. We ignored the assault on young black men from the Central Five who were acquitted by DNA evidence that he called guilty anyway. We ignored the assault on the judge. We ignored the wall. We ignored the Russians come hack our system and see what happens. We ignored the threat against Hillary Clinton's life. Maybe her bodyguard should let go of their guns and something very bad would happen. And say, groped a blonde.
Right. And it's like, oh my stars. Not Nancy O'Dell.
Everything else was okay. They did slip out a little bit when he had, just a little bit, not a whole lot, a little bit when he had that run-in with Megan, whatever her name is. Megan Kelly, was it?
Oh, right,
the
yeah. Yeah, and they threw her butt up under the bus.
And then she conceded and went ahead and let him, televise grope her, whatever, you know.
Right.
Essentially, so she gave in and sat there grinning
exactly.
and spinning and whatever up with him afterwards. So essentially, he acted out what he was saying right on camera. So yes, he didn't know he didn't use his hands, but essentially he was able to do exactly what he wanted to do with her, and she let him because he was famous.
Right. Right. But I still kind of feel like it. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. And so did the Republican Party. They did same thing. They let him do exactly what he wanted to do because he's rich, because he's a star, because he's famous. And they don't want the backlash. So basically, he's been grabbing their crotches since he started this campaign.
I don't know. I don't know why I feel like I'm in elementary school when I hear that. It's like somebody's grabbing somebody's crotch. Like, I don't know, that may be the childish part of it. But the fact is, it's so doggone outrageous. Why are you just now upset? Now,
why are you just now upset? I mean, it's so delayed. The reaction is so delayed. It really is. It's horrifying. And so now I think part of the problem, they just really just did not want to concede their candidate. Even though they hated their candidate, they didn't want to have the backlash of their own party. It sounds they call President Obama a communist. This is what this sounds like to me. You better not step out of line.
Mm-hmm.
You better not step out of line. You better stick with the party, do what the party says, or else. Or else. You know, you threaten to grab a blonde woman's crotch.
Right.
anything
outside of that, you good. But once you do that.
Hold man and woman for themselves, which is what Paul Ryan is saying. Save yourself.
Right.
Go after your
right.
own, you know, go to your downstream. Campaigns or what do they call it? Downline candidacies.
The down ballot folks.
Down
here's
ballot,
the thing that's
right.
funny. Yeah, here's the thing that's funny to me is the whole he apologized and we should move on. Like, so it goes like Mike Pence, the vice presidential, the guy who was selected for vice president on the Republican side, right? So he's like, I'm a staunch conservative Christian, and we were told to, you know, that if somebody apologized, we need to forgive them. So for the Nancy O'Dell thing, it happened 11 years ago, and Bill Clinton's was 22 years ago. So you can forgive the 11-year-old thing, but not the 22-year-old thing? They're yes, speaking out of both sides of their mouth. Huh?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Yeah. Right, and they're not even like clever anymore. Like it's not like, well, you got to really dig in between their words. They're not even hiding it that way. Like you have to dig between their words. They're not clever. It's just amazing to me. Yeah. And I'm amused. I have to say, it's not anything other than amusement for me, because it stops me from yelling. Honestly, it's not that I feel some kind of way about it. It's that I'm amused because even when I wouldn't use the word complain about it, but even when I would say this stuff a long time ago, I think people that really wasn't getting it. Like, they really were like, well, that's politics. People lie. We got to keep going on and blah, blah, blah. You have this dude who's blatant. I mean, you have a literal Klan guy in there. And you still can't see racism. So that's why I said it's fake outrage. Because you couldn't see the Klan guy? Really? I mean, what does the Klan guy have to do to get some respect in this piece? Like, you know what I mean? I'm not feeling sorry for the Klan guy. I'm just saying. Like, what do you have to do for somebody to say, you know what, that's just out of bounds? Like, you have no... Yeah, you have no parameters that you have to live by when the Klan guy don't have no problems.
I know. It's really, really, really sorry state of affairs in American politics.
Well, you know what, though? I'm not really, I can tell you, I'm not sad about it at all. The thing about it, and I was asked this before, I was talking to someone recently, and the person said, you know, this must be really bad for you kind of as a strategist. And I said, no, actually, I know what I'm doing. So technically, all of this stuff is for people who think that anybody can actually do political campaigns. They were trying to change the rules on political campaigns. Well, don't have to show my taxes? Cool. I don't have to do this? Cool. You know what I mean? They were trying to break the rules in it. And so when they did it, it just didn't work out for them. So technically, the society, what happens is that we always try to revert back to a known psychosis point, I guess I like to call that. This country always reverts back. So you had a black president, and you're like, hey, let's go back to these both. I mean, there is no diversity in any of the campaigns. None. Clinton appears to have some diversity because there's more minorities on the Democratic side. But the official spokespeople for the campaign, no diversity. If you want to count white women, fine. But I'm telling you that even with the white women that they have, they're not diverse white women. They're not white women who have any cultural balance. It doesn't appear to be that way when I watch them. So as I watch this, when I told you before, hey, this is going to be a pretty depressive thing for me because I've watched the political system nationally revert back to where we were, like, Reagan-ish time. And that was not a happy time for me. It really wasn't a happy time.
It is not. It was not. It wasn't a happy time for any of us.
I knew it was going to be pretty sad, but this is sad in an amusing kind of way, because for all of those people who thought we back on top, I think they're about to learn a little lesson on what on top is, because you know essentially the world has changed, and so since it has changed. Yep, it really has, and so they won't let it go, though. So you got the Donald Trumps of the world coming in, and they're fighting it. Which, again, I'm not mad about them fighting the change. I'm just, like, amused at the fact that as a society, everyone's acting like, you know, they didn't see it coming. that's disturbing to a point where I think, as a business person, though, I always think that it's, I think that it's a great opportunity, right? So it's like Ebony and Jet being sold to Time Life kind of thing. You know, I'm like, well, somebody black can start up a magazine because them fools will be out of touch really quickly. Like, that's my thought. So I, it's not that I'm rosy and tend to look on the bright side, but I always look at it as that when your opponent is unrealistic and can't see the world for what it is, it just gives you an advantage. That's how I look at it.
That's it. That's it.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong now. You can see this different, Kathleen. I just want
no,
to throw it out there.
No, I don't see it differently at all. I'm sorry for the noise. I don't see it differently at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It
so
is exactly
I always
what
kind of,
you. It's
yeah.
exactly what you say. I see it exactly like that.
Okay. So the opportunity is there. But again, when I look at mainstream or major media, you can look at places like who, and none of CNN is horrible, right? And all you see is Trump people. They're trying to defend all of the stuff. And you know, two women. New York Times did interview two women in a news story. They have them on videotape for the woman who was on a flight with him, and he was on a plane with her, and after like their food service and stuff was done, they put up their trays and stuff. He started like groping her and tried to put his hand up her skirt, and she said, I don't know what I would have done, but I think I would not have reacted like I did until he put his hand up my skirt. And then she got up and then went to another seat. And then the second woman, or the other woman, said that she had a moment with him because he was on an elevator with her. Her company was in Trump Towers, and she shook his hand. He wouldn't let her hand go. He started kissing her on her cheek and then kissed her in the mouth. And so she went up and complained to her boss. I know. So this is all today, though. So even if we don't go back to the Nancy O'Dell stuff, you had BuzzFeed, I guess this was, interviewed a woman, and this is on video, too. So they interviewed her, and she said when she was in the Teen USA. Now, this is Teen Miss Teen USA.
Don't tell me you're saying teen, like T-E-E-N, like teenager. Is that what you're saying
yes.
right now?
Yes. You missed Teenage USA. He apparently made sure that he came in there while they were changing in between their costume changes. And he would come in and say, oh, I was just making sure everybody was all right. Don't worry about it. I've seen plenty of naked women before. Is what he said.
Oh, come on.
Yes, she got interviewed today.
On the Howard Stern show, he said that he used to do that to the women at the Miss Universe contest, right? So he did, he himself said it, that he did this at the Miss Universe contest. So who said that he did, oh, Lord. I'm stammering now. I can't even talk.
Uh-huh.
Who said that he did this at the teen?
I'm one of the contestants. I'm trying to think of what state she represented. But she was interviewed today on BuzzFeed. And there's the audio. Like, she didn't, this is not a newspaper story. She did an interview with them, and she talked about it.
Okay. Well, it's consistent because he said he did it at the Miss Universe. You heard that, right? Talk about that on the Howard Stern show. So he said, well, I was running the contest, so I was able to just walk in there and while everybody was naked. And they weren't going to stop me, and I was just going to, I'm just checking. And that's what he said, I'm just checking on everybody.
Now see, it makes it worse. Like, okay, so... Although it's bad either way, whether it's Miss USA, Miss Universe, Miss America, right? Because he's involved with all of those. Used to be, I guess, Miss Universe,
Miss America and Miss USA. So the age groups are different for all of those. But when you start talking Miss Teen USA, hat, my friend. E-N.
That, along with the comments that he made about his own daughter, and we saw him make those, and she sat there and giggled, which is, I'm like, and what planet is she from?
I'm not going to speculate what's going on in that house, but I'm just saying that you would call child services for that. You would think that would have been an easy one. Child services. Need to call somebody. You know, okay.
I'm surprised he was on him before. You know, if he was doing that to teen, nobody said anything. So I guess that's what he, back to the same thing. They let you do it because you're rich. You're famous. You're whatever. Because
right.
Whoever was there, the mothers, the parents, because if it's teen, I'm back there getting my daughter dressed. And so what? I don't do it. I don't say anything. I don't support him.
Right. Okay. So here's the thing for me on this. And I'm not... I'm going to try to be a little careful with this just because I'm not making a comparison.
Careful.
I'm only being careful because I don't want to make a comparison, right? But you know how everybody went through the whole thing about, you know, women in the locker room kind of thing and saying that, you know, we shouldn't have women in there because, you know, guys, blah, 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 right? Just different sexes kind of stuff. I can say that could make people uncomfortable. So if you're going to do that, you have to let them know or give them a chance to get dressed or whatever, right? But you should not have them in the middle of people taking showers or being naked just for them being comfortable one way or another. But this guy is clearly perverted, which is a whole other story. Like he was doing that to young girls because I can see, you know, and not that I've ever been in that situation at all, but – you know, only as a kid, as a male, I'm sure I've been around women undressing, but it probably was, you know, I was probably in elementary school and didn't care. Like, I wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, unless
right.
you have no interest, and whether you do or not, it's the comfort of the people who are dressing. That dude is perverted. And so all of these things that are coming out are streamlining themselves into perversion more than it's an issue of, he was one of the officials. He walked in to talk to somebody and walked out. He came into a secured area or not. He had no reason to be in where women were dressed.
Right. Why
None.
Wouldn't they be okay? And why wouldn't they be okay? And if they were not okay, what did you need to do?
Right. And why would they
what
tell
did they
him?
What did they need from you when they were naked? That they wouldn't need with dress. And what couldn't
exactly.
you if you had consent, why wouldn't you send a woman inside to ask them if they needed anything? And if they needed anything, all you would do is direct somebody to go do it. You're not going to do it. What could they possibly need from you in that moment?
Right. And you know how many handlers they had? Well, in a slight disclosure, I actually know someone who was in Miss New York State, which is part of Miss USA, Miss America stuff. And she was actually on the board. And those girls are actually, not only do they not have their local area committee and their state committee before they go there, they can tell anybody else their problem. He did not need to walk in on them naked. Like, that's all I'm saying. Like, they have a lot of people that they could actually go to for any issues. Like, what, he's like, oh, somebody needs extra stocking? Like, what the heck would he have to help anybody in a beauty pageant?
Nothing. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I would be asking my mother, Mom, can you get...
Right.
You know, even my father is not going to walk in there. My father wouldn't even walk in there while I didn't have any clothes on. So why would you?
Because he's perverted. So,
because he's perverted.
Well, and so I'm, again, amused at the people who were defending having a perverted guy represent them. I'm truly amused by that just because it shows that
in this country, we have this thing that we do, whereas, well, I shouldn't say we, because I think that most people are over that. Most people have grown up. But we don't like to deal with our past. We don't like to deal with people who are misogynistic. We don't like to deal with how the federal government has treated Native Americans, how they're still treating them. They don't like to deal with how they treat black people. And since we don't like to deal with any of this stuff, it comes back and bites you in the butt every now and then. And so the only way that you can try to cover it is to say, oh, yeah, that was a long time ago, and it's not like that anymore. And apparently it is. So stop having those conversations where you try to make everybody else think they crazy.
Yeah.
But so it's interesting to me from that perspective that we've always been in so much denial and nobody wants to give reparations and that was a long time ago and you still have the same sick puppies out here and they're not dealing with their people like they should be. I think that's more harmful. Because we watched, what's the guy, the DuPont guy who molested an infant and molested 3 and a 4-year-old. That dude got no jail time. We're watching this stuff happen in real life, and it just seems like it's just getting worse. Because the more they try to protect the same, you know, perverted people, the worse off society is becoming with dealing.
Yeah, it's really disappointing. It is. It's really disappointing. So, well, so I can't really ask you this question, but we can just have the discussion about Mrs., Secretary Clinton, in response to all that's going on. I haven't seen her, not that she's not doing it, but I haven't seen her responses to this. I know she's doing her best to stay on topic, and it's difficult to do it when you have all of this madness going on around you. But what I meant to say in that she's not really responding to this madness is that I know she is, but he is keeping the camera on him. He's keeping the camera on him every second, even if it's negative. And it's so negative now. If you remember when we were all saying that, well, not we, I never say this. I never believed this, but remember when a lot of people were saying, you know what I'm about to say, right? He is really, I think he's really for her. And he's just in there to make a big mess and so that she will win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how, I never really believed that, but it's not even logical to think that that's what's going on right now. You know? But if you were to make up something, it would be that, because it is so outrageous now that it's hard to believe that it's even real.
Right. I can say that I can't say that I believe that he is doing something for her benefit because he's a narcissist, right? And so it don't really work out that way because the way his behavior is, he would have to be an actor, kinda. And he don't have that in him. So I can't believe that he's doing that for her. Although, I still know that they're friends. Right? And so that's what throws this into a questionable area, is because as friends, they have to have something in common. And we apparently don't know what that is. And it may not just be being rich. So technically, why are they friends and why are they so close if they don't think alike, or, you know what I mean? That's what leads a little bit more suspicion. I think that's it more than.
You really think they're friends? Well, I know
they
were.
Oh, they definitely are friends. I think they
are
probably still are.
Work.
I think
with
they
this
are.
Kind of
yeah,
with the
you
women
know.
At the, up to
they
the
knew
point
what
where you
kind
brought
of,
the women.
They knew. I am telling you. They turned the other cheek like most people do. They knew what kind of person he was. I've done a lot of campaigns where I've seen like racist, misogynist, sexist. I mean, I've been in people's houses with their wives upstairs, and they were like, "Hey, we're bringing over strippers," and I was like, "Gotta go."
Right.
I know where this is going. You know, I have not just become the black guy. Like, that is not going down. But for me to actually stop them from doing something is just kind of beyond my pay grade.
Well, you're running for office,
and, you know, you should be more kind. I ain't telling you, Jack. If that's what a part of your culture is, that's your culture.
That's on
so
you.
I don't make I don't make any excuses for none of those fools, but at the same time, I'm not delusional about the fact that they get covered for. And we have to kind of not put that burden of high ethics on ourselves when we know that that's a part of somebody else's community that we just don't subscribe to. You know, there are big cultural differences, and I can tell you, and outside the political thing, matter of fact, I can tell you something that happened. I was painting my garage today, and my neighbor, and you know how some neighborhoods are transit, like you have kids walking from school and stuff and all of that stuff. So one of my neighbors, who is a white female, well, she and her husband, her kids live there, and but she, some black kids was out in front, and you know how they do this. So the kids are cursing like crazy. They don't see any adults. I'm in the backyard, so I can hear them. But I can't even see who they are, but I hear them as they're walking down the street. And apparently they stop near their house, but they just congregate it. You know how you do when you're walking from school, you congregate and whatever. So this female comes, or my neighbor comes out of her house, and she says something about if does anybody, are there any effing parents in the neighborhood or something like that? And I thought,
exactly.
I'm not going to help you, but you're gonna get cussed out, right? If she would have went,
uh-huh.
And they were like teenagers. They weren't like high school kids. They were young kids. And because culturally, white folks don't know, young black kids don't curse around their parents. They were only cursing that much because that was their freedom from not having anybody hear them, right? So if you saw some young kids cursing like that, and you went out on your porch and you looked at them and you said, you guys are being kind of loud. They'll go, oh, I'm sorry, excuse me, a lot of times. Or they'll just see you and just keep it moving. They don't know if you know their parents or not. If they see an adult there, they didn't see any adults. Nobody was, like, outside. So they were cursing like crazy. But culturally, she might think she has a right to criticize their parents for those kids' behavior. And not only would those kids curse her out, their parents probably would have came back and cursed her out too. You can't do that. Like, there are
wow.
a lot of things.
Right.
That are, but you know what I mean? There are a lot of things that are culturally different. There are a lot of cultural differences. So it is not my job, like it's not any black person's job, to go smooth out racial things for culturally
right.
to anybody. But sometimes you need to know that there are big cultural differences. And I am saying in politics, just like in real life, in European stuff, I don't really go into their stuff and say, don't y'all think that's inappropriate? I will dismiss myself from it. Peace out. And I'm out. But I don't go in and say, hey, here's what y'all should or should not be doing. You know what I mean? That's what y'all do. Y'all do that
yes.
outside of myself. I don't let anybody curse at me. And so y'all can curse all you want to. You know, I've been in situations
right.
where, you know, they'll say, hey, hopefully you don't mind all the cursing. I said, I don't mind as long as nobody's cursing at me. I have to let it go. So
let it go.
So with this whole Donald Trump stuff, it's kind of interesting to me that their fake outrage, which I still call it fake outrage because it's in a public sphere,
Like, that stuff is usually in the back room, so they're usually cool. So what Donald Trump is saying, and Giuliani and all of those crazy people on his side, all those guys are saying, oh, everybody's done that. John McCain cursed like a sailor. I'm sure he does. I'm sure Bill Clinton probably cursed like a sailor. Like, I'm sure they probably all do. But at least they don't have the sense to go around, like, physically assaulting women. That ain't really the thing. You can't make your case. You what?
Yeah. No, I said nobody is topping to that. They may curse,
yeah,
but they're not, they, you know, we're not sexually assaulting women or bragging about it or suggesting that it's okay or thinking it's funny or saying that we, this is how we talk in locker rooms. Or you didn't hear anybody else say, oh, yeah, this is what we say in locker rooms. Nobody said that.
No, because nobody talks like that in locker rooms. Nobody in locker rooms talk about sexually assaulting anybody, right? And you don't, most of the time, you know, 1,000% of the time, you don't have to. I mean, just in an athletic sense, is that guys, you know, whether it's male or female, you enjoy a privilege of being favored a lot of times. They don't go around going, hey, let me find some girl to assault today. Like, they don't do that. So that's not locker room talk.
But you know the thing about him that's so interesting is that, well, it's not interesting. The thing about him that's so amazing is that he has truly mastered, if you will, entertainment television. And the art that he wrote the book Art of the Deal. But also, he incorporates the art of seduction, right? So he can be so seductive with that ridiculous message, saying it over and over and over and over and over until people until he almost normalizes it and people almost begin to accept it like, oh, well, yeah, that must be true. Because every time he said lock, nobody challenged the locker room banter. Nobody challenged that. They did say,
right,
well, you're suggesting sexual assault, you know, you're suggesting that you assaulted women, you're saying this, that's sex, you know, that is sexual assault, that's violence against women, that's this and that. And he says, no, that was just locker room banter, I don't do that. But nobody ever said that, oh, well, we need to purify our locker room if that's the case. Or I'm an athlete, and I never heard anybody say anything like that in a locker room. Or, you know, just like nothing.
No doubt.
Nothing. What locker rooms were you in where men spoke like that? And can you produce somebody who thought that that was okay to say in locker rooms? It's not okay.
Hey.
And, you know, and if it was locker room banter, why were you having the conversation on the bus? You were not in a locker room. And, you're 40 years removed, 30 years removed from locker room banter. What are you talking about? So... anyway, I just really had a problem with the fact that he was allowed to just continue to say that, but saying it over and over and over again, and the danger in it, sorry, I'm going on a little bit, but the danger in that is that for young people who are listening to him or people who are impressionable who are listening to him may begin to think that actually is locker room banter. So for the girls who are listening, they're feeling like, oh, my God, this is what boys say about us in the locker room. You know, so either it incites fear or it's normalizing it for young women or thinking that it's okay. Or on the opposite, for boys, oh, that's locker room banter? Oh, so now we can really let loose in the locker room and it's no big deal. Not only can we let loose with the words, because, you know, words become actions, right? So it's a very dangerous thing. And to let it go on like this, and then within 24 hours, all of these people flip and say, oh, okay, well, you know what, let's just move on. Because Bill did worse.
Yeah,
so,
I was going to say.
What'd
you say?
I said, you know, he's like, oh yeah, this is what boys do, this is what men do, this is how men talk, this is just funny.
Oh, well, see, okay, so
I can't go that route with you. just to say, I know you're stirring it up on this one, but I have a tendency not to want to give an excuse to what anybody's going to see through action, right? So, and in their case, I don't think it's sending a message. I think the problem is that is how he is, and that is how most jerks and pricks and all of those other guys who act like that are, right? Most of us who have sense and don't do that are the majority. So nobody has to think about how folks are in locker rooms, because technically, men in one place are going to just kind of like they're going to talk about whatever they talk about, right? They're going to talk about sports. They're going to talk about whatever. We talk about stuff that most people don't find interesting, right? Oh, I bought this kind of car. I had this problem. I painted a house. You know, when I call my friend, tomorrow, and he asks, what have I been up to? And I'll say, hey, I painted the porch. I painted the garage. That's what guys talk about. It is not talking about women in that sort of sense. That's adolescence. So either you're a 10-year-old or you're an adult. It doesn't go like that. So it's not like locker rooms are like that because boys get around. They can't help but talk about girls. That's just dumb. So, you know, nobody has to even remotely, you know, use your brain power about figuring out what guys do in locker rooms. You don't need to regulate them. You don't need to do jack. Jerks are jerks. And if that's what he and his friends do, and apparently, again, Roger Ailes got sued, left Fox News for his sexual assault, or from him, whatever he was doing to the women at Fox, it's why on their network all of the, you know, blonde-haired women wore short skirts to work, and they kept saying, no, they want us here for our mind. There was a bunch of dirty old men. And I think through the lawsuits, people found out, oh, yeah. You know, they were objectifying women. That should have been hard for you to see. So I'm not making that up. I'm just saying now it looks obvious to you. And that's sick that now it looks obvious to you. Had waited for Megyn Kelly and all of those guys to sue and to come out, and then Greta Van Susteren comes out and says, oh, I can't be here if all that stuff is true. I was backing Roger Ailes. It's like, yeah, he wasn't attracted to you or something. Like, just because he didn't hit on you don't mean he's not doing that to other women. So it's just like how racism works, right? Just because you have a black friend don't mean that you like black people, you know? And I hear people use that all the time. So technically it's more of that for me, is to actually hear people start that nonsense up about, hey, you know, what he was doing was just him. What he was doing was just pretty much, what is it, guy? What did he call it? Locker room talk. See, I couldn't even figure out a good lie for him. That's what he was. It's good locker room talk. Yeah. Anyway, that's just a mess. And no matter how you look at that, Donald Trump stuff is a mess. All right.
Oh, no problem. I just wanted to clarify that my point was, though, that no one challenged him on that, because my point was in agreement with you that this is not locker room banter. So my point was that nobody really challenged the fact that, you know, he's saying it is. And by not challenging it and just letting it lie out there and listening to him say it over and over and over again, it starts to make it sound like it was locker room banter, because it goes on a post. That was my point.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't necessarily disagreeing with you. I was saying on the tone of it, I wasn't going to address it from that point, because I believe that we as a society, like, tend to look at, okay, so on the Republican side, unlike them, they don't really look at a victim. They actually say they blame the victim, right? If a black person got shot, they were like, oh, he must have been drunk, or the officer was afraid of their life. They don't look at the victim. And right. Less
it gets to a point where the victim happens to be white, right? And so it's a very fine line when it's to white folks because it goes by power and money. So the powerful person is always the victim. So the reason I brought up the DuPont guy who molested an infant or a toddler and the Mars from the Mars candy bar chocolate family who ran over some folks and killed the pregnant woman and her baby and the woman's grandmother and some other people and they said, oh, well, they settled out of court, so she's not going to do any jail time. Like, she paid them off. That stuff needs to be, we need to call it for what it is, right? Justice system caters to people who have money, I'm sorry, who are white first, and then who are white who have money, and then white females, and then, you know, white males, and then nobody else, because there is no more pecking order after that for them. Because eventually, if you're actually in court, you are going up against somebody who's white. So it doesn't matter. Whether it's the prosecutor, whether it is the whether it's societal, whether it's a company or corporation, when you go against institutions, they always see those as European institutions. So it's always a no-win.
Right.
And, you know, another thing, though, is I still watch, you know, Lion Brian, which I like to call him, Lion Brian Williams, back on TV. And it's funny to watch his reaction to all this stuff. Like, you know, as a serious journalist, I'm like, your butt just got caught lying not too long ago, and you still on TV? We can't catch a break. Yeah, because they're normalizing. Right, but you get it. So they'll normalize him, whereas everybody else is like, oh yeah, we can't let him gone because the public trust is gone. The public trust is apparently not gone for Brian Williams.
No.
Right, and the only thing that he has, huh?
He's forgiven, but remember the guy, what was the guy that Oprah had on that wrote that book, the journalist from the Times or whatever, he wrote that article, and I think it was a book that he wrote that Oprah chose as one of her books to read in her book club. Do you remember that guy?
Mm-hmm.
And his career was absolutely destroyed. Haven't heard a word out of him since. Absolutely just destroyed.
Wait a minute, what did he do?
He wrote a book and claimed that it was true, but it was fictitious.
Oh, that's right, yes, I do remember him.
You remember that? And he was a New York Times journalist, and Oprah had him on the show, and she threatened to completely demolish her book club because of it, and I'll never trust authors again. Do you remember that?
Yeah. And did she ever get rid of her book club?
No. She just chose something for the book club the other day. She just got rid of black authors.
Yeah, that was my point. Oprah wouldn't get rid of her book club. See, again, if that was me, she would have dissolved her book club for me. She'd be like, I am never having another black person on here. her book club would have been done.
I haven't seen another black author on her book club. I'm not saying that she hasn't had one, but I haven't seen every book that she's come up with, but I haven't seen one since then. And she did stop doing it for a while, and she came back now, and she just had somebody on Super Soul Sunday the other day who wrote a book and became besties with her. And that's very interesting.
Yeah.
I don't even know if she did Michael Beckwith's book. She did do. Mm-hmm. She did talk about his book, but it wasn't for his book club. He was just on Super Soul Sunday last week. Excellent show too.
Okay.
Yeah, Michael Beckwith. I like Michael Beckwith a lot.
Yeah, I haven't seen him. Well, I guess the last time I saw him on TV is he was talking to Oprah. But that was about it. But yeah, actually, I have a lot of respect for Michael Beckwith as well. Now, okay, so I want to remind everybody, you're listening to Stir It Up. I know I'm mumbling a little bit. And I want to say, you know, we have one of my other brothers on the board. So if you want to come in online, you know, hit one. I will bring you in. And we're just stirring it up. This is a free-for-all. I'm not saying who it is because I want Kathleen to be surprised. But you know, right now we're just talking a little bit about Donald Trump. And, you know, we changed topics, so we're going to let Kathleen go into a topic. You know, we're at the top of the hour. So what else is going on in the world, Kathleen, that you want to shout out? Or do you want me to go first? Because I do have that View interview with Dr. Kircher.
Oh, yeah, no, you can go first because I can't really think of anything else right at the moment.
Oh, well, no, actually, you know, before we move on from the politics stuff, I want to ask you a question about, have you seen the president on the stump, like, on a stump for Hillary? Have you
yes,
seen? Cause they've
I
been
have.
Running clips. They've been running clips like it's nobody's business.
Yes, I saw. I actually saw the clip of him saying, "You know, it doesn't." He didn't say. He didn't use the term rocket scientist, but he said something like, "You don't have to be a father or a brother or a husband to when you listen to what that guy said to say that's not right." That's not right.
There
was nothing deep. He didn't say anything deep, like, you know, that's horrible. He's just like, that ain't right.
Right. It could have been a whole Chris Rock joke. That ain't right. You know, I have to say it for my own amusement. I've been watching Meet the Browns for some reason lately. And
okay.
I know that this is about to sound a little sad, but Mr. Brown in this one episode keeps going through the whole set saying "stop being nasty," and I want to put that clip on the board every time Donald Trump says something. Cause I just want them to stop being nasty. Just stop. So I keep thinking about that clip every time. Another woman comes out and he says, "Oh, you know, blah 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 blah." I just want to play "Stop Being Nasty" every time I hear him. But anyway, this made me think of that. But so the president, even though he's on a stomp and stuff, you know, I understand what he's doing. I think the president is going to lose a little bit of credibility stomping too hard for Hillary, though. I kind of worry about that part. Because he is scandal free, you know, as president, like scandal free.
He is.
So to bring her stuff in, like she has any kind of stature is a little bit more problematic.
He
I don't know if you saw
it,
that.
Was yeah, of course. I think everybody saw that. It's like, what's his option? You know?
No, no, no.
For everything.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not saying that he shouldn't because he is technically the leader of the party. I am just saying that she is like the person in track that just tested positive for a drug test that you're like, yeah, they did, but this time they cleaned. Like, you still vote for that? Like, you're still hawking that person?
Her anyway. but, you know, the thing is, you know, you just have to really accept it, saying, okay, well, what's the option? You know, look at what the option is. In my opinion, Jerome, he's not stomping hard enough.
No, I don't think he needs to, though.
That was my point. I don't think he needs to at all.
That was a joke. That was a joke.
That's what?
That was a joke.
Oh, okay.
That was a jokey joke.
Okay.
That
he's not
stumped. In other words, we cannot allow this man to win, the other guy. I don't even want him to get close.
Now, see, okay, now, again, hit one on your line if you want to come in. I want to say hey to everybody who's on the board. I didn't open up the chat. I don't know why I didn't do that today. Didn't really care. But I want to say this because I have said this for a long time. It was inevitable. There was no way in heck that he was going to win. This was inevitable. And no matter how much the Republicans ignored it, and no matter how many of the 16 or 18 people that he knocked off in that primary, they were all really weak in character. I don't care if this was Ted Cruz, because if it was Cruz, it would have been him. If it was Rubio, it would have been him. All of these guys on the Republican side were that much character flawed that if you'd have got them on this main stage when it came to try to get independents or Democrats, because remember, it doesn't take Republicans to win a race. You have to have some Democrats vote for you. You can't even just have some independents. Democrats have to cross over to vote for you as a Republican. It's not that many Republicans in the country. So they keep saying, oh, you know, white working class males or females. And Romney won all of those and he still lost. The problem is that you need enough Democrats and they need to be neutral. Like they need to be about, you know, 55-60% for a Republican to actually win. But to look at this stuff now, again, everybody's acting all surprised and shocked. Like they couldn't see that coming a mile away. And that's why I kept saying some people aren't even worth their salt in politics if they couldn't see this coming. Because this should have been easy.
They couldn't see Trump taking the lead?
They couldn't see what?
If they're not worth their salt in politics, if they couldn't see what? That Trump would win the primary? And
no, that he would implode.
That he would implode.
That he's not palatable to the electorate at large.
Yeah, people at large could see that.
Right, but I'm saying just at large, like if you are actually a paid professional, I'm not saying that people who watch politics from the outside in, I'm saying the inside out. If you could not see this coming a mile away, you should not be working in politics. If the only people who are speaking for Donald Trump is Giuliani and Chris Christie, you got
and
a problem.
Kelly, whatever her name
well,
is.
Well, she's a paid op. And so her fragile looking self, it was just as conservative. She was she was one of those people who were promoting the women against Hillary stuff from before. She's a long time conspiracy person against Hillary. She's a long time. So that's not even a surprise. So no matter how much she smiles, like, well, Donald Trump, and tries to change the subject, which people created some word called pivot now, but still, they're just changing the subject because they can't deal with their own candidate. But anyway, I say this to say this. Last week, we talked about, and I talked about a little bit about The View and how black folks need to start handling being in a mainstream media, right? Or when you're at work, or when you're in an interview, when people ask you inappropriate questions, you need to cut their butt off and not answer questions. So I said that I would bring that this week and put it on the board so we can listen to this. But this interview, and it's going to take about 5 minutes, but this is an interview that Dr. Kircher had. Her brother was killed by the policeman in Tulsa. So she went on to The View, she and her attorney, and I want you to check out some of the inappropriate questions and how it was handled on The View. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
In the matter of the death of Terrence Crutcher, I determined that the filing of the felony crime of manslaughter in the first degree against Tulsa police officer Betty Shelby is warranted.
Well, that was the Tulsa County District Attorney delivering the news that Officer Betty Shelby will be charged with manslaughter for fatally shooting Terrence Crutcher. He was unarmed with his hands in the air. Dr. Crutcher, let's talk about this latest development in your brother's case, because Officer Shelby has now been charged with first-degree manslaughter, charges that you, your family, asked for. How do you feel about this?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm totally elated by the first step, because that's all this is. It's just the first step. We have a long way to go, but this is what we asked for. I'm grateful to the TPD, the DA, the city, everyone who's been rallying around us to make sure that they're transparent and press these charges based on what the whole entire country and world has saw from that gruesome video. So my family, we're excited.
Dr. Crutcher, this is Raven. Hi. One of the officers in the helicopter overhead said that your brother looked like a bad dude. As his twin sister, was he a bad dude or was he just black?
I believe that my brother was prejudged by that officer in the helicopter. He knew nothing about my brother. I'm not even sure why a helicopter was there versus a tow truck. That's what I'm trying to understand. He didn't do anything wrong. His car was stalled. He had just left Tulsa Community College, speaking with professors there. I got a call from the professors. They were the last ones to speak with him about 7:15, and they gave me a call and said he was excited about class. And we found out that they canceled his class because there was not enough enrollment. And I just feel if that class hadn't got canceled, my brother would still be here today. But nevertheless, his vehicle stalled, and helicopters and police and everybody was there like this was the New York bomber. I don't get it. And people are saying he should have complied. But what did he do wrong to comply, Raven? What did he do wrong?
Well,
that's
Dr.
what I'm trying to figure out.
Dr. Crutcher, let me ask you this. According to police on the scene, your brother ignored more than two dozen commands. Do you believe that's the truth? Do you think he would have behaved that way?
That's their side of it, and I just don't believe that. And one thing that people don't know about my brother has a very severe hearing issue in his right ear and prosthetic eye. And I know my brother was scared, and people don't know that, because all they know is that he's a bad dude. But my brother was disabled, and he was just trying to get his life together. So I can't say that that's true. I was not there at the scene. But, you know, these things tend to be scripted case after case after case. He didn't comply. They didn't comply. But the video tells it all. The video tells it all. His hands were up, and that's what we are fighting right there. The fact that everybody saw my brother's hands up, and at that moment, there was no need to execute him at all.
Tiffany, this is Paula. I know you said that your brother was flawed, but he was in church every Sunday, and I have to imagine it must be so infuriating, hurtful, just because right now they're trying to bring your brother's alleged drug use into the narrative. It's got to be so hurtful knowing that at the time of the fatal shooting, the police officers had no idea of his past. They had no idea of what was in the car. So how infuriating is this narrative for your family?
Can I say something?
Let her answer first, please.
I just think that question is irrelevant. I think that it's odd that every time there's a black dead person, that person has to submit to a background check in order to prove that they don't deserve to be dead.
And it is not a fair.
I think that we need to ask questions about criminal records or alleged drug abuse. I just think it's irrelevant.
I agree. I think a lot of people think it's
irrelevant.
It should be irrelevant, but this is a narrative that's out there. And why it's really unfair to your family. How frustrating is it for you to have to address this narrative?
Well, I think it's a narrative that the media has to take the responsibility to stop from being out there. The media should stop those questions and those unnecessary discussions. We say, hey, this is a video that shows a man complying. A video shows a man without a weapon. A video shows the officers are not in any danger. Anything outside of that is a false narrative, and we call upon the media to help heal this country from false narratives and put the truth out so we can come together as one nation and be the strong people we can be, and the media has a big role to play in that.
Great.
Well, we,
We here at The View have heard you, and we are not going to continue that narrative. So our thanks to Dr. Tiffany Crutcher and her attorney, Demario Solomon Simmons. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be right back.
All right. Now, if you want to go check that out, you know, you can go to The View and check out the full interview. That was just pieces of it, but it was just interesting to me. Yeah, it was just interesting to me. Okay, so, okay, we could start from the beginning. I did cut off, I can't remember the first person who asked the question, but Paula Ferris, she needs her butt whooped. And only two people who did not call her Dr. Kircher is the white folks. And Joy Behar did say that. Sonny Halston addressed her Dr. so-and-so. And Raven Simone did say Dr. so-and-so. But the other two females was there was like, can I, you know, they just kind of called her by her name. So they didn't show her any kind of respect. And then they asked really frivolous questions. So Raven Simone's question to me was pretty bad as well. You know, is he a bad dude or was he black? Like, that was just daggone dumb.
I heard that and I was like, oh, geez.
I wasn't going to say anything about it, but I thought she needs a timeout. So I try not to pile on Raven Simone too much because she already has that issue. But you can see why I yell so much about asking questions that are irrelevant, because we're always made to ask questions and we don't see we're not conscious about the fact that when black people, when something happens to somebody black, they ask them a whole bunch of irrelevant questions and they will not ask white folks questions.
Never.
Right? And so and they can't see the difference. They act as if they can't see the difference. Wait a minute, did I miss it?
No, I'm just, you know, it's after a while, it becomes, there must be some kind of a disorder for this. What is it? It's exhausting.
It is.
Exhausting.
It is, but we ignore it so much because it's exhausting. So what happens is that we get fatigue, and so we try to ignore it. We're like, well, it happens all the time, so what you going to do and kind of thing. That's a part of giving up. But I want everybody to pretty much have strength in knowing that you don't have to give up on anything. It is what you're actually seeing, and don't lose faith in seeing that it's not you. You know what I mean? So a lot of times when we start hearing this stuff and we can't see disparities in media, I know I'm kind of trained to do that because I look at it all the time, that it just jumps out at me. But I think everybody should be able to look at stuff with a critical eye and kind of feel their way through it. Because when you start talking about what people of color should be doing or what they're not doing, and you're a person of color, think about what you would be doing, because you're not a stereotype. Your individual person is not a stereotype. But it's easier for, you know, the Paula Ferris's of the world to come back and say, well, I mean, the only black people I know is the black people on this panel and the black people who are nice to me. So she feels like her white friends want to know, since it's alleged something, why would the police lie and all of that other stuff? Like she thinks that question is justified because they want to know something in their community, and we need to start telling them, bite me, forget you. If your community wants to know the answer to that question, it's irrelevant. Mind your business. And I know that kind of sounds harsh, but we really have to do that. You can't say, well, maybe they was just curious.
No. And
you know what I mean?
It's the narrative that's out there, so you need to address the narrative. That's bogus, too. You're just trying to force me into answering.
Right, the question is, who put that narrative out there? Right, but you have to ask yourself a question. Who put that narrative out there? You did. So we don't have to just answer questions because you can just throw anything out of your mouth. You know, I'm not gonna say that the other show that
that we do on Sundays about this, but it's why I yell about that so much. You can't just throw out questions to taint people's to taint their thoughts prior to them having a thought. So we lead them in news now. We usually say, I'm not saying it's this, but it could be. So now you just plant it in somebody's head what you think it is. Now they're responding off of what you planted in them without it having any kind of relevance. So I like the fact that Sunny Hostin did that. She was like, that's irrelevant. And so you see what Paula Ferris did. She said, I think she should answer that. It's like, we don't care what you think. So I'm glad her attorney came out and answered it.
Yeah.
But we have to stop that nonsense. Right? So when somebody asks you a question, just tell them, look, if you don't know, you don't know. We shouldn't feel obligated to answer Jack.
That was an excellent clip, though. I said that was an excellent clip, though. Thank you for playing that, because I had not you talked about it before, but I had not listened to it.
Yeah. I actually, when I saw that the first time, I kept saying that people need to have a tutorial on that thing. Like, they need to say, when you are being interviewed, here's how you should handle them. Because every time we get sidetracked too easy, and I normally do this, you know, doing campaigning and teaching or talking about how to answer questions. But people are so used to changing the subjects. Like the Republicans blatantly ignore questions. That's what they're taught. Somebody asks you a question, you answer what you want to answer, and you can wear
right.
a person out because they have a limited time to ask you questions. So if you argue with them enough, then you just kill the time in the segment. So if you're doing like 7-8 minute segments, and those are long. So if you're doing like a 4 or 5 minute segment, then all you got to do is kill the time in arguing. It's amazing that still works. But that's what they do. So they'll argue with you, change the subject, get you talking about something else so that you cannot get back to the original subject or the original question. So that's how they're media trained. But the truth is that if you're a good interviewer, I would stop the interview. Or my response to that would be, if you don't answer in this segment, you are getting no more segments on this network. You ain't come back on this show. Because you come on this show and I ask you a simple question and you get sidetracked, you ain't come back on here. It's pretty much why I don't take calls generally, although I just want to say hey to everyone on the board. But generally, I don't even – seriously. So when we're doing a show, if Low-Key's here or Kai's on, when it's four of us, I don't take any questions because technically there's enough of variety of thought so that the audience can actually, you know, see differences of opinion. Don't need anybody trolling the show, calling in, just trying to be disruptive or mean-spirited or whatever. I don't want to hear that. And I'm sure that, I'm not sure, but I would think that people listening to the show, who's listened to the show on different occasions, got used to us not having those kind of discussions.
Right.
I mean, we'll get loud. This is stirred up, so we'll get loud every now and then. But I'm just saying, we don't get vulgar loud. You know, that's not necessary. All right, so I definitely wanted to play that clip, and before we get out of here, I definitely wanted to play that and to see if you heard any of that.
No,
all
right, I am. Go watch it though. And I did want to say, send my condolences and express the tremendous loss we have in New York City with the passing of District Attorney Ken Thompson. That was, just such a tremendous loss for our community. So I send condolences to family and to New York City.
Was he the current District Attorney? But,
yeah.
I remember his name.
Yeah. Just elected. He was the one that took over at
right.
the time. First black district attorney of Brooklyn. Yeah, he died.
Man. He's
50 years old.
He was 50?
50 years old. Yep.
Jeez.
Good guy. Really, really good man. So, I know.
I was going to say, I remember the news stories coming out of him from getting people out of jail who were innocent.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he did that when he first got in there.
Mm-hmm.
He helped get some people out of there that they knew. And one of those cases was where the old DA, some guy who was put in jail for murder.
Right.
Remember, he was in Florida at the time. As soon as he came back, got off the plane, they arrested him for murder, went through the trial, convicted him, and he had the hotel receipt of where he was staying. And when
That's
he
right.
checked out, in his pocket, it was checked into evidence, and they never
That's
brought
right.
that into evidence.
And they never
he wasn't even there
evidence.
When the murder happened.
He was not even there.
Yep. That's the first case that I remember his name. And I thought, see, that's why you need people of color in the district attorney's office, because technically they feel a little bit more kinship and emotion to the people who got railroaded all these years. Apparently the guy prior to him just didn't care. And he was just worried about his conviction rate.
And he was in his office for like 20 years or something like that, some outrageous amount of time. And it took a lot to beat him. But, you know, thank God. Anyway, so, yes, he passed. He was diagnosed with cancer, and his time was very short after he was diagnosed. So condolences to him. The wake, for anyone who is listening and is interested in attending the wake, it will be at CCC, Christian Cultural Center in Brooklyn on Flatlands Avenue. The wake will be on Friday from 3 to 8 p.m., I think, and then the service is on Saturday morning. So it's going to be really, really, really very packed. But I just send a lot of love and blessings to his family. And also, a dear friend of mine passed away on Sunday, and I want to send condolences to him and blessings to him, his family, on his transition, that Reverend Dr. Ben Monroe. May he rest in peace.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. It's been one of those weeks, huh, Kathleen?
It has. It has been one of those weeks. It has been one of those weeks.
I know.
But by the time I'll see you again tomorrow night at 11, but by the time we talk again here on Stir It Up, will we have had the next debate? Isn't it on Tuesday? Next week?
Well, if they have a debate, it probably will be on Tuesday. You know, I actually doubt that they will have a debate.
Do you?
Yeah. If Trump was any smarter, one of two things is going to happen. He's gonna cancel the debate, or is he going to go in there and show his butt? He don't have nothing to lose. This is very dangerous time. There is no decorum is coming in this one. His poll numbers are way too low. They showed numbers.
He said he took off the shackles. So
I don't know what that means of him having shackles.
I don't know what that means either.
That means his craft self. He might be cursing and everything now.
He took the shackles off. And so now with Paul Ryan, and he's insulting Ryan and McCain, and he didn't say anything about Condoleezza Rice yet, so we'll see. But
no.
If the shackles are off, God bless us. If he was in shackles before, anyway.
Yeah, I think they're taking this moment to develop a new clan is what they're doing. So they're taking a road trip. They know he's going to lose. They know he's going to lose bad. So they're taking their time to develop a base. Roger Ailes is fired from Fox. Breitbart is a online paper, Breitbart News. So whatever project they got going, they're developing their own brand to cater to the ignorance of people in this country, and they're going to work that for what it's worth, because Fox has a lot of money for peddling that bull.
Oh,
I mean, I know I mentioned this before, but you know Fox News bought National Geographic's channel.
No, I forgot.
And the magazine.
Said that. Oh,
and you know,
man.
You know what's really sick about it? Because I watch National Geographic's at all the other. I watch no Fox station, but I watch National Geographic's. And the other day, they have a show. They've been promoting this show called Killing Reagan. So they whatever dramatization they have to make Reagan look like a martyr is what they're going to do on National Geographic. So they're taking a history channel to revise history.
You know, that's funny because somebody the other day sent me something that was on National Geographic, and they're like, do you believe that was on National Geographic? And so now they're
yeah, Fox to... owns them. Fox bought them last year. That's why I'm
wow.
saying, like, yeah, that's what the problem is, right? So you don't know where news is coming from anymore. You're not getting any honest history. We're back to, you know, the whole myth of St. Patrick's Day, Columbus Day, and here's what you need. We're
right.
back to that.
Right, right.
Right? In the land of the internet, where you can find out information, they're back to manipulating on TV an impression that gives them praise again.
Wow.
I know. Sounds sick, right?
Yeah, it does. Well, listen, let me end on a good note. If anybody didn't see President Barack Obama on ESPN Sports last night, definitely fire that puppy up. What a great interview. 1 hour. ESPN Sports.
I did not
did you
see
it?
That. No.
Oh, man, it was really good.
I didn't even know
it
about
it. Really, really good. Mm-hmm. We talked about a lot of stuff, not just sports, but it was excellent.
Uh-huh. What, he was just on regular Sports Center sports?
Sports Center, yeah. Interviewed by Stan. I can't think of his last name right now. But it was excellent. He talked about a lot of great things. And so, really good interview.
Well, it is good that he's getting out. You know what I mean? I think for them, they put in 8 years of work in about 4 years. And so I think that they should be enjoying the presidency from a different perspective. Because we're never going to have a president that is that fluent or first lady that fluent to be able to deal in many different environments like that. So
I know.
You know. Yeah, so they can go on my mama's soap, go on General Hospital. They can do all of that stuff right now. make that circuit. They can go on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for all I care. They can go on Blackish. Whatever. Just make their way through it. No empire, though. Just none of that.
No
you know,
empire.
No empire
no.
or power or nothing. But all I'm saying is that I hope that they take the opportunity to even do that stuff. You know, I know people are going to criticize him for it because no other president has done it before, but we ain't have no president with no sense of humor or good timing before
not like
either.
Him.
And one
like
that can
him.
Read. Yeah. So,
I know.
Didn't Vice President Biden go on, what was it, Law and Order?
Yes.
Yeah. See, they should be doing that kind of stuff. Because we were in a bad place in this country when they took office. I mean, we were bad. Mm-hmm. So when people keep saying stuff like, well, we are not back yet, fully recovered. No, but we are a heck of a ways away from where we were.
Exactly.
Where
right.
we were would not. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure I put that out there that, you know, hopefully we get to see them on I would say Family Feud, but I don't like Steve Harvey like that. But Let's Make a Deal, maybe. I don't know. I don't care if it's a game show, talk show. I don't care if the president's on Jeopardy. He's like, give me American History Alex for 200. Like, I don't care what it is. have the first lady win a trip on what is it, Wheel of Fortune? They'd be like, you're going to Bermuda. I was like, can I take this? whatever. So I don't care what game show they go on. They should enjoy it. But all right,
yeah, so much.
We are going to, and next week, hopefully, we get to bring on the person that's going to talk about Haiti and some other stuff. But, you know, Loki will probably be back by then. So we'll get to hang out some more and stir it up a little bit.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So is there any last thing that we need to bring up before we get out of here?
Register to vote.
if you're not already, register to vote. All right. Well, on that note, hey, we're going to see you again next week. This is Stir It Up. And check you out next week, Kathleen.
Check you out next week.
All right.
In order, in case they put tax on air and drinking water, round us up for slaughter, stick us in order, from lightest to darkest, from short to taller, then it will not matter, if you a baller, or if you broke his hell and ain't got a quarter, will not make a difference, once you on that list, remember Tuskegee, remember syphilis, nowadays it's